Welcome back
to a podcast about nothing
with V
and AD. I like that part.
You like V. All right, you can say it from here on out.
I will. Thank you.
Cool.
Hey, guys, we have a celebrity.
I'm nervous.
We have a celebrity. He doesn't want to be a celebrity yet, but I'm speaking into existence. Amen.
Existence. He already is.
I know, right? But taking him up a notch. Hey, Vic.
How y'all doing?
Good.
Who are you?
Victor Fontanez.
Who?
Victor Fontanez.
Ooh.
Ooh, what's your nationality?
My dad Puerto Rican, my mom from Russia.
Oh! You really are going to have some cute babies.
International.
They foreign.
Ooh, really? All my money foreign.
He got that laugh on him already.
Right. Ooh, that rich laugh.
That rich laugh. So, if y'all don't know, this is Vic. He goes by Vic Blends, right? Okay, he goes by Vic Blends on Instagram, celebrity barber. He's 20 years old, which is amazing to me because I have a 20-year-old brother and he acts nothing like him. This is a grown man right here, okay? This is a grown man. But thank you for coming in.
No, I appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate y'all for real.
Thank you. We are very intrigued with your story, as my cousin loved his haircut the other day. And, you know, we've been seeing you. I didn't even realize who it was. I was just telling him that I didn't know who he was until you two actually came back. And I realized Desi, the comedian that I follow on Instagram, is the one who posted him the other day. So, small world that we live in on Instagram.
Dang. So does that make us celebrities?
Yeah.
Y'all are definitely celebrities.
Celebrities.
Okay. All right, so.
Y'all can't come to my house.
Vic.
So, we want to know. Start from the top. This is V. V wants to know.
Yeah, like, the top. Okay, so this is my thing. You were born. Like, ooh, okay, little Vic Blends. He's going to be an astronaut. Like, boom. 10 years old. You are on the playground. You wiping your nose, boogers. You might be blowing kisses and sticking your tongue out at a little girl you like. And 20. Go.
At 20.
Like,
how did 10 to 20 happen? Like, how did it go from growing up to not going to college, which I saw on your video.
Yeah, college was not it.
To getting awards, being in Spain, doing barber cut. How? Slay?
So I started cutting hair about 4 years ago now, coming out of high school. So, you know, when you come out of high school, you set up to go to college. My parents wanted me to go to college. Like I said, my dad's from Boston. My mom's from Russia. My dad had to go to the Army to make it out of Boston, out of the projects. Ended up getting a college degree while he was in the Army. Got a master's. My mom went to college, got a degree. Older brother went to college, got a degree. Now he's in the Army. He's a civil engineer. So, everybody's on this traditional route to success. And here I am. You know, my sister went to college. She's a nurse. I'm next in line. I'm like, well, what am I going to do?
So, you're the baby.
So, I'm the middle. I got one more. I got my younger brother. He just turned 16.
Dang.
So, I
got a lot to live up to.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I'm setting the bar for him.
Right.
Yeah. I'm setting the bar for him for real. So, coming into high school, you know, I've always had an entrepreneur or a business mindset. I've always been a hustler. So, you know, at a young age, at, you know, 15, 14, I used to always want to make my own money. You know, I believe that as a man, you need to make money and, you know, provide for your family, provide for your girl or whatever. So, I used to think it was real lame that I had to ask my parents for money to take my girlfriend to the movies in middle school. So, I was like, man, I'm done asking my parents for money. You know, people make fun of me in middle school for not having the Jordans and not having the iPads when the iPads were coming out with Beats by Dre, because I had three other siblings and, you know, we had a lot of people to feed and it wasn't like I'm about to get spoiled. Like, I'm a middle child, you know, not like, you know, that middle child syndrome is real. You ain't about to just
trust
get spoiled,
me.
So.
I know.
You know, but I would see these people make fun of me. I'm like, oh, well, you know, everything you got is given to you from your parents. How are you going to make something you never earned? So I'm like, that don't feel right. So, you know, even from middle school, I've always wanted to make my own money. You know, I started washing dishes in the back of a restaurant that we lived in front of, behind of, actually. I started mowing lawns. I used to do anything I could to hustle and make a dollar. I would flip shoes, Jordans. You know, at one point, I remember I used to go around with a jar. And I would put a picture of my dog on the front of the jar with my lawnmower. So I'd tell houses that I'm cutting grass to raise money for my dog's surgery. So I'm like, I need some bread for the surgery.
He one of the people that stand outside and collect money for the candy for the school.
For the basketball.
Donuts never come. But I used to just do anything to make a dollar. I've always been a hustler. I never sell no drugs. I don't do that. But I've always found a way to hustle, though. Yeah. To get a dollar somehow that I can. So I've always felt like I had the power of communication at a young age. Like, one of the first things I ever want to do was become a motivational speaker.
I literally was just thinking from every time that I've heard you speak, from a few videos that I watched of you on the internet, you speak with so much conviction and you're so like articulate, you speak with motivation. It's like every time he speaks, you just stop and you want to listen. Like, yeah, I just said, you remind me of Gary Vee. Like, you get excited, like,
yeah,
ooh, I'm about to cut hair. You get excited.
And I'm gonna be the best.
Right. Like, yeah. That's dope.
Yeah, but that started in middle school, you know, because I've always wanted to train my mind. So I was running track, and I'm like, oh, how am I gonna get a better track runner? So it's a mental thing. So I started YouTubing how to get mentally tough. First person I ever came across was Eric Thomas, and it did change my life. Just listening to his motivational speaking, and he's actually my senior quote in my yearbook. Give up what's good for what's great. That's my senior quote in my yearbook. So I've been listening to Eric Thomas since forever, since I was in middle school. So I've always felt like, you know, God blessed my voice before he blessed my hands. I've always had a voice to speak. So that mind was always there before I had the actual craft to put it to. So I've always wanted to be a motivational speaker. That was just something that was in me. And then now I have a platform built through my trade that, you know, God gave me. And now I could go ahead and spread this message across the world for these kids to hear as well.
Yeah, that's crazy. These kids. That's crazy.
This one different.
Yeah, And some glitter sparkles, okay? You get everything on the board, okay?
That's dope. Yeah. I like that. You speak about God a lot. Is religion a leading force in your life, or is it just...
That's more than half the battle.
Okay, we go to church. Okay, yeah. Okay.
He ain't got no baby mamas, but he's about to have a few after this interview, okay? Yeah. He said, yeah.
I like that. So when you spoke about, like, not going to college and having to figure out what you wanted to do. At what point did you realize that your parents didn't have anything to worry about?
I knew that from the beginning. That's the vision that they, you know, you're given.
Yeah.
You know, but it isn't until you put it into anything physical or give them something to look at to where they can agree to it, then they're not going to get on board with it. So, like I said, I started cutting hair because I wanted to figure out how I'm going to make money in college. I was hustling. I was washing dishes, serving tables. I was like, when I go to college, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
What am I going to do to make money in college? I asked my barber G back home. I said, G, like, you know, what do you think I should do to make money in college? I'm thinking he's going to tell me, you know, I don't know, do homework for somebody or cook some plates, hustle, do something different. Yeah. He said, why don't you learn how to cut hair? He said, if you learn how to cut hair, you can make money for the rest of your life. And when he put money for the rest of my life into my mind, I said, I can make money forever.
Yeah. You know, everybody's barber, always
a barber is a craft that is never going anywhere.
Yep.
There's no robot that could ever make up for a haircut. Even if it did make up for a haircut, the most part about barbering is that emotional connection you have with your barber.
Experience
that, you know, be around forever. So
that 2 o'clock lineup, be serious.
When he said that, I'm like, well, shit, let me see how much money I can make. So I started trying to learn to be a side hustle in college. So I started right at the beginning of my senior year. That summer, as soon as the, you know, first day of school started out, started trying to cut hair. By the time I graduated, I learned enough about the industry to know that the barbering industry was a little bit bigger than just cutting behind the chair. Yeah. And then cutting behind the chair, you know, already is enough money to live really good if you wanted to just cut hair. But the industry itself is a lot larger than most people think. And that's an opportunity to create a brand, you know, make a good residual, make millions. Mm-hmm. It's a billion-dollar industry. You just got to be able to get into it. So when I learned all that, I was like, yeah, this could be a real career. You know, I already had the passion for it through cutting and making a difference to the people in my chair. So I was like, you know, once all that came together and I had the spiritual confirmation and the sign that God gave me that I needed to be a barber, I was like, there's no way I'm gonna go to college now.
I'm telling you, that blessing of a clear vision, because I still ain't got it yet, is a dope thing.
When I got the sign that I had to be a barber, I almost died to get it. I was leaving school with my best friend. It was lunchtime, we were going to get lunch. Right, so you know, everybody skips school for lunch, go get some McDonald's, whatever, we're going to get some cookout. So we leave school, but I only left that day for lunch because the night before I had told my parents that I wanted to go to barber school instead of college, and they were like, no, like,
Of course.
No, like, course. No way. Yeah. You know, and I understand that now looking back at it. But at that time, I'm heartbroken. Yeah. Told my family I want to go follow my passion and not with it.
Yeah.
So I'm torn. Yeah. So I called my best friend, Justin. I'm like, Justin, I need you to come get lunch with me. Like, yeah, we're going to get lunch, but I need to talk to you. Like, that's why I need to get in there. So we get in the car. When I start breaking down, crying, I'm telling him, like, Justin, bro, like, I feel like I got to be a barber. I feel like if I don't be a barber, bro, I'm not going to see the potential God got for me. So right when I said that, we're at a T intersection. We got to turn left. And my light turned green and turned left, so I got the right of way to go left. It's that slope, though, so the hill is kind of coming this way, and we're going up, so we got to go uphill. When I say that, in the midst of me saying, Justin, I feel like if I don't become a barber, I might not see the potential that God has in my life. When I make that turn, there was one of those 16-wheel trucks, like one of those big Mack trucks, Optimus Prime, comes and they blow their red light coming towards us.
Mm.
And all I hear is, I look to my left, and it's like I said, Optimus Prime looking me in my face, like, this dude's about to kill me right here.
Yeah.
And it was so close. I mean, you got to think, it was probably like to that wall right here. Like, that wall outside, that's how close I could see this dude's face. Like, this truck. Yeah. Like,
that's close for a truck.
Yeah, for a truck. Yeah.
So I'm looking at it, and it's like, you know, you just move. And I almost didn't even try to step on the gas because I felt like it was too close for me to even get out of if I wanted to. So when I stepped on the gas, I expected the truck to at least tailbone, you know, and hit the enemy and spin me out or something. But I stepped on the time and I didn't get hit. So at first we're driving like, oh, damn, bro, that was close. Like, you know, but then I started thinking more deep on it. I started thinking. I'm like, bro, you know, I realized what were we just talking about? Yeah. And what I just said? Yeah. And that was God telling me that, you know, at any moment I could die, so I might as well live my life to make sure that I see my most potential.
That's deep.
Yeah.
I promise you. And the thing about it is, moments like that, if your mind isn't where it needs to be, you won't notice the moment.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You could have been doing anything. Yeah, you almost get hit by a truck, like, oh, that's crazy, and you would have left it at that.
Yeah, but you gotta be woke on the spiritual signs and the signs God tell you, because if you don't and you ignore those, even that's why people end up homeless, that's why people end up on drugs and stuff, because, you know, God will give you signs for your life throughout them, but if you choose to ignore them, then that's the path you choose to go on the other way.
Yeah.
I had to stay woke on that. I said, man, that ain't just a close call. That was not just a coincidence that this truck didn't hit us. Like, what is he trying to tell me in this situation? And I listened. At that point, I went home. I said, nah, ain't no way I'm going to college. Like, it's above my decision and your decision, so I got to go, and that's what it's going to be. So I remember I had bought all my classes at the school.
You were already registered, ready to go.
My parents weren't playing. I went to the open house. I went to all this.
Oh, wow.
You know, so I had a whole deal done. I was like, nah, I ain't going to do it. Dropped out. I mean, I didn't drop out. I refunded my classes. I was screwed because I bought all the hoodies and backpack. Here I am with, like, a full, like, lanyard.
You see, you like merch, so you was ready.
Yeah, I was like, man, damn. So I just stopped that, and I went straight to go register for barber school, and as soon as I graduated high school, went to barber school, and I mean, that's only like 2 years ago.
I was about to say, that's history from there, because that was not that long ago.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
That's a clear vision for your ass, okay?
It is.
I know that's right, big blends. So what can people expect when they sit in your chair? Like,
what's the blends?
What's the big blends cut?
It's the experience. And that was the experience. Before it was the cut. Now I know how to put the experience to it, but you know, all this started, I couldn't be to the point where I'm at, first of all, if I wasn't good, I couldn't hear.
Yeah.
Sure. I had to get that down first. I couldn't talk the talk and be all this that if I sucked at cutting.
Do people really go to school and, like, are really, like, piss poor at cutting hair after they come out of barber school?
Yeah. Barber school is, that's one thing, that's a fault we have in our community, in our industry, is that barber school is not, you're going to go and be a great barber, you're going to go and get your hours. That's what you're going to do. You're going to get your hours and get your license.
You're going to practice.
We do got some schools, and I do know a couple people in the industry that do own great schools, and they teach their students really well, but that's like a 5% out of 100 that is really actually pushing that.
Yeah.
The other half is just the business where, you know, people are
wanting like just to get your hours, to be able to get in a chair.
Yeah.
Because I never really studied even the hair industry, just seeing it different from the hair show that they have down here and all that. Like, I didn't even know it was this deep. I thought you went to school, got your chair, pay a little stuff, and call it a day. But these girls out here making bank.
It's a billion dollar industry.
Yeah.
It's a billion dollar industry. Just, you don't know if you don't know, because most people gravitate towards music or athletes, you know. That's what's hip now.
Yeah,
that's what they want to be.
Yeah.
All these kids want to be overnight rappers. All these kids want to be NBA, NFL. What's the percentage of people that actually can do that? Very small.
Yeah.
You gotta be chosen to win the lottery to do something like that. What can every kid do though? Just go to barber school and get a license.
Learn a craft.
And now with, you know, people like me that learn how to take a craft and create a brand out of it. Now if I lay a foundation for them, they can do the same thing. I got everything your favorite rapper got, and I never had a rap to do it. I never had to sell drugs. I never had to put up a fake persona.
All I did was
wake up and be the best Victor Fonzie I could be through my craft, and God opened every door I needed.
I know that's right.
That's dope.
How do you stay so spiritually connected? I'm sorry, I have to keep going back to this, but it's like, you know, I'm one of those people, it's like people say all the fluff is nice, like all the stuff, I'm grounded, I'm this, but like, what do you do? 10 minutes of prayer every day?
You gotta exercise gratitude. You know, God wants to have a relationship with you. That's all he want to have.
That's true.
So, you know, a lot of people...
I'm going to talk to you later.
A lot of people, they'll sit down, they'll pray, and they'll call to God when
always
things go
asking
left.
For something.
Yeah, when things go left for them. You know, I'm in trouble.
Do I not say that all the time?
I'm troubled, God. Can you come help me? I'm praying to God for this. Like, you know, why didn't you pray for him when you was up? But when you was up and you made that Instagram post, what you say? I did this. Mm. I did this. Look what I did.
Look at all the cameras.
I say it
all the time. Say it all the time. We always praise him when we're doing good. Oh, thank you in the name of Jesus. Oh, he got me that car. He got me that job. But when you're down, you never say, you know, it's like.
You still got to thank him.
You still got to thank him all the time. And like you said, sometimes it's the other way around to where it's, when it's good, it's I did this. When you're down,
you're like, God, fix this, fix that.
Yeah, fix this.
No, you did this too.
Because you ain't listening.
Right. That's dope, though.
Yeah.
I like that. Background that makes me appreciate you more. I can say that, because people, when they have like stories, people just be out here doing stuff, you know. But you can tell there's purpose in what you do, so I like that.
I'm big on the purpose. You know, it's just, there's a purpose behind what I'm doing.
We
ain't put on this earth to buy material and die.
I
put on this earth to do something.
Yeah,
you know, just like, you know, I'm a barber. Barber was my craft, but my purpose is beyond the actual craft of barbering. I now have a platform I built through my gift that God gave me. And I have to put a message out now. I have a responsibility to show the young generation how to create a brand out of a craft. How to be something more than an overnight rapper. How do you do something and get all the money that these NBA players get through something that you can get on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah.
That's what I want to show everybody, is that you don't have to go that route. You could be an entrepreneur. You could do what you love. You know, most kids probably love barbering. Most kids probably love science. Most kids probably love photography, videography.
Yeah.
But the social status will probably tell them it's lame, you know, that you need to go do this.
So
they'll shy away from that.
Yeah.
Because they want to be accepted by others.
I think what's really important too is that no matter what anyone said, even your parents, you decided like, no, this is what I was sent here to do. And a lot of times it may be that they want to be a barber or a photographer or a podcast host, but they don't have the support. So it's like you said, like leaning on your purpose and knowing what is there for you and going after it. And yeah, that's really dope. But I do have a quick question. So do you believe that you could have done this with anything? Like being a barber and going, you know, that kind of fell in your lap. You asked the question, you know, your barber told you this is what you can do, make money for the rest of your life. But if you were, my husband always uses this term, if I could, he always says, I'm just good, right? So I could sell toilet paper and I'll be the best toilet paper salesman ever because I understand what it takes to be, it's numbers. It's, you know, I have to sell this many to make this. Do you think you could have done this with anything?
Yeah, I live by a quote that goes, don't let what you're good at define who you are. Who are you if you can't do what you're good at?
That's true. Wow.
So, but who is Victor Fontes if I couldn't cut hair? Like I said earlier, God bless my voice before he bless my hands. Mm-hmm. If I can't do it with my hands, I could teach somebody how to do it with my voice. I could show somebody how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, if I couldn't do it myself, I could coordinate something to get somebody to show somebody how to do it.
Yeah.
I put together a plan. I got that hustle in me. I used to, I put together stuff in the past before, so I ain't no doubt whatever it is that I wanted to do,
mm-hmm.
I would have been the best out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can definitely tell from the way you speak that barbering is just a segue into what you're about to do next. I can feel
it. I'm really excited for you.
Yeah, I can feel it. I'm going to be here. I'm going to have a time with you.
Yeah, I'm really excited for you because I don't believe that everyone is meant to be an entrepreneur. I don't think that everyone is meant to be a boss. I think it's something that you're actually born with. You know, like you were born with this gift. Someone just had to say, there you go. Like, and you were able to tap, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you were able to tap into it. So, yeah, I don't, look, we done. Hey, this is the best. You're really, really dope.
Hey, this is a dope one. Y'all are awesome.
Yeah,
I do have a question, though.
Oh, like, she got a bunch of questions. I'm in awe.
No, for the most part, you've been answering them through the conversation, but, like, I've been seeing a lot of, like, barber parodies and stuff online, and I just want to know, what are your do's and don'ts of, like, sitting in your chair? Because people complain, and they, like, don't come in here asking me to do this, don't do this, don't turn around and touch it, don't ask to see it. Like, do you have any, like, do's and don'ts if it comes to sitting in your chair?
Don't look me in my eyes when I line you up.
That is funny.
That's a don't across the universe. Do not look at Barbara in his eyes when he's trying to line you up.
Look at that.
Yeah. Yeah, don't look at me in my eyes.
I don't even think about that. That's funny.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, that's one of that one right there. Yeah.
And they just be staring at you too.
The whole time.
I'm gonna go man. There and go look at somebody in their eyes when they cut.
Nah, no, yeah.
It makes me want to get my hair cut again.
Right, like, hey.
Yeah.
That's funny. Okay, well, I'm good. You pretty much answered everything I needed today. I appreciate you.
What are questions? You said you had questions for us.
What made y'all want to do this?
Because we sit around laughing.
Literally, like, this is how we talk all the time to each other.
All the time. We sit and down.
It was an idea of hers that she already had. Like, I really want to do this. But couldn't find a person or didn't want to do it by herself. And it was the conversations that we always brought up together. Just the things we think about, how deep we go into, like, the most basic topics. It's, like, it's intriguing to people. And a year later, we're here. And it's amazing, though, because management definitely didn't think. He was like, yeah, I'll participate when y'all, like, four episodes in. And he's like, oh, y'all serious? Y'all really doing this?
It's a lot of fun, too. It is, like, the conversations that we have just on a daily basis is ridiculous. We should start just recording those.
Make it look crazy. But that's really what it was. Just family, people having conversations that, you know, they're very surface level to most people, but it's the next question that either she's asking or I'm asking that takes it to the next level, and that makes it even more fun than what it could be. So this is fun for me.
So what do y'all see it going this year?
$1 million, baby.
I'm about to drop a mixtape. You said something about rappers, but I am a rapper. Lord. So, you know. No, I'm just kidding.
But people need to see us more. That's, I told you, I ain't good at the social media thing. So, for the most part, putting our faces out there.
Hold on. Not good. She sucks. She has six pictures.
From, like, the course of 7 years.
I wouldn't be a social media person if it wasn't a tool for business. Like, I could care less about what's on a.
Do you feel like you have to focus on it? Like,
well, that's the name of the game right now.
True.
You know, it's easy to get with the wave and get left. You know, you gotta be on that. You gotta be on that wave.
Yeah.
I'm drowning in the pool over here.
Okay. Definitely a lot.
I'm drowning.
Definitely a lot more interviews. We love interviewing entrepreneurs. It's just, you know, it's in our blood.
Everybody has a story.
Everybody has a story, and it's just giving people an outlet. You know, like
safe haven, safe space.
That's safe space. Talk about what you want to talk about. You know, let us know about your baby mamas.
Yeah. Look, look. He's like, I'm gonna let you know on air. Right. I'm single as the dollar
bill. No shorties.
No shorties. Are you looking?
No. Oh. I don't know.
He said, I'm
yeah, gonna gotta stay focused.
Yeah, hey, man. Girl ain't got nothing for me other than the, what the next girl got. I know. Y'all got the same thing.
Do you feel the pressure to find someone before you, like, blow? Because, like, low-key,
you creeping.
Any, you ask any barber about you, they're like, oh, nah, he the truth, hands down. And my barber, my husband's barber and the kid's barber in Maryland, shout out to God, he's really, really dope. And Yudu was like, oh, yeah, you know, Vic blends. And he was like, what? Yeah, he just went on and on and on about, you know, how dope you were. Do you feel the pressure to find someone to spend your life with, or that person that, you know, you can go home to before it gets out of control?
No, I don't think so, because I had a girl before when I first started cutting hair, and it was my high school sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought what we just said, you know, yeah. Do I need to get somebody before I blow up? Because they might not know me when I was back then and I ain't had nothing, but
yeah.
I gotta understand too, it's like I changed as a person. You know, yeah. Why am I looking for a girl to hold on to the old me when it ain't me no more?
That's true.
You know, I was dating the girl in high school because she knew me in high school when I had nothing. You know, oh, she don't respect me when I'm older.
It was a comfort.
Yeah, so, yeah. But the thing is, I'm not that same person from high school. So she's in love with the high school me, and that's not me no more. You know, that's her perspective of who I am.
Yeah.
You know, but now I've grown, I've learned new things, I got a different network, I got a different, you know, circle around, yeah. I got different priorities, I think different, I move different.
Everything.
But this girl wants me to be the high school me.
Yeah.
That's not gonna work.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like, you know, when I make my millions and I get up there, I find another girl that got her millions and she up there. Yeah. And I'll go out on my private island, and there's gonna be another little island over there with another shorty on it. Like, oh shit, you on your island?
I know that's right.
Okay, man.
Got a hell of a time.
Yeah. We all about to get some
ass. I ain't worried. My dad's big on it. My dad pressured me all the time. Like, you need to get you a girl. You need to get
it was a big thing for you two. You know, when we got together, I didn't know anything about like his track career or anything like that, about the music or anything. And because I didn't know, he was like, oh, this might work. And you know, I did my research, but
shit, stalker. You talking about me
a little bit. but yeah, it was really important for him to find someone before, you know, because he was like, you know what, I'm gonna just be single, because you know, he felt like if I make it or whatever I do, I know I'm gonna be successful. Then I'm not gonna find someone who knows who I am truly.
True.
So I don't know. I, you know, different.
Yeah, I just feel like when I do find a shorty though, it'll be like, you know, she not. I don't want her to know me off of, you know, she not gonna slide in my DMs with my shorty like that. And that's not how it's gonna go, because you know you're gonna come off of my page, you know, my stuff. And it's
I may have slid in some DMs.
But I foresee it being something, you know, simple. Like, you know, I catch you outside, so, oh, you cute, blah blah blah, chop it up, and then she find out later. But it's got to be genuine.
Yeah.
I myself, you know, after, you know, we
no DMs, y'all.
Yeah, after you don't, you know, you grow and you see so much trust issues broken off of, you know, success and things like that. You're more cautious to people that just slide in the DMs and want to do this and that and third. Like, you know, you see that persona of me. You didn't see me at Walmart over here in my slides with no socks, like getting my milk and chilling.
Don't be in Walmart in no socks.
So yeah, that's, you know, if a shorty see me like that, then we kick it. There might be some genuine stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't foresee it. Like, it'll just happen.
It'll happen when it's time.
I feel like I ain't ugly. I feel like I got a good head on my shoulder. So I mean, I feel like God gonna give me someone good.
Yep. It'll happen when it's time.
Right. That boy is blessed. He was like, I ain't tripping. God got me.
My dad, my mom saved my dad. My dad joined the army, and he actually met my mom in Korea, because my mom used to work for an airplane company in Korea, and she was doing flights in Korea for like a month, and my dad was stationed in Korea for the military, like when he first started. So he met my mom in Korea while she was down there doing flights, and she like just knew enough English to be a flight attendant. So she like barely knew that much.
So your mom's Russian?
Yeah, my mom's Russian.
And she was in Korea?
She was in Korea because she worked for the airplane company, so she was doing flights down there.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad met my mom in Korea for like a month and proposed to her.
What?
And my mom said that she said yes because she thought he was like joking. She said that he thought he was joking, like it was a joke. So she like, oh yeah, I got another love. So, you know, until my dad came to Russia and was like, and we out.
Oh wow.
I got an older brother, my older brother Alex, called Sasha. He's my mom's son.
Mm-hmm.
And so my dad was on some Bosch stuff, man. He went and got my mom from Russia and took her son, you know, his son too, but and brought him to the US again, and they got a whole new life.
Wow.
Shout out to Pops.
My dad a real one. That's where I get my foundation from. Definitely from my parents. You know, they're not as entrepreneurial and all that, but they gave me a solid foundation as a man to
And knowing that story, like, your dad just went and was like, look, this is what I want. So it may not have been in starting a business, but, like, just going after what you want.
My dad is a go-getter. My dad used to tell me that, you know, he was like, oh, I used to be just like you. I used to want to be the best electrician in the world. And I'm like, that's a little different now. I'm doing it, though. Yeah. It's a little different now, Dad. But, and that's the same way I get. You know, he's a hustler back in Boston. He grew up in Boston, and... You know, he made it out through the army, but he always gets what he wants, like, all the time, no matter how late. He got a degree in the military, a master's degree.
Yeah.
Not a bachelor, he got a master's. Mm-hmm. He didn't get it till just 2 years ago, at age 49, 48.
That's dope.
But, you know, he got it. He was going to get whatever he wanted to get.
That hustle mentality, no matter how, nonstop.
I wish I could see how my dad, you know, raised his son, like, doing things around the house or doing things for the house or chores that you could just violate. Probably, why don't we just call someone and do this? And we ain't supposed to be doing this.
Right.
Oh, no, we're going to get it done. You know, we used to have to tear it. We put new grass in the front in the house. He's like, he's renting like electric, like all these tools and stuff that you got to be licensed to use. But he out there like, oh, we're going to just do it. So we're going to just do it. Tore up the whole front yard, laying the grass down. One time he had me like get the grass out of the cracks. He told me he was a screwdriver. No weed whacker.
That is
like stuff like that. But it's
building
shows you,
character.
You know, yeah. Bill Skate shows you how to make something out of nothing. You know, just get it done yourself.
That's true.
That's really dope.
Like that. And Pops is, I see you're a real one.
He a real one for real.
That's dope. So what do your parents say now? Like, hey, no, you're not going to do it. You know what? I want it to be just like...
The only thing they told me not to do now is the tattoos. Hit my tattoos.
You started all this after you start cutting hair.
My first tattoo was a clipper on my arm that says Barber Life.
I got that
in high school, 18. First year cutting. I wasn't even good at cutting hair. That's how confident I was. I'm such a confident person, whatever I'm going to do. My first tattoo before I had my mom name on me or anything was a damn clipper that said Barber Life on my right. That's my whole damn arm. And I'm 18 in high school, walking around with that. So, I mean, that
you
that
was the man, though.
I felt like I was.
Yeah.
Sure, man.
You look like you ain't stopping no time soon.
No, I'm not. I'm sorry, mom. And dad, I'm not, though. But that's the only thing I don't like. But now, you know, now they're fully on board with the movement.
Yeah.
You know, before it wasn't even, but it just happened like this past year.
Yeah.
You know, because even less than a year ago, and I remember my dad even telling me, you know, he told me to my face one time that he didn't think I'd make enough money to live.
Mm.
You know, the barbering.
Yeah.
So it's like, that was just a couple months, like, you know, less than a year ago.
Yeah.
So I progressed quick in my career, you know, obviously being, you know, only 2 or 3 years into it. It's a lot of progression, but like I said, I had to show them physical that this was going to work. You know, your parents, they're not telling me not to go for my dream because they don't want to see me be happy. But they want to know that I'm going to be good when they leave this earth.
Yeah.
They don't want to see their kid left on earth for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, they want to make sure they got a degree that they work for it and to make sure that their kid hold on to something that's going to guarantee some type of success.
Yeah.
So that's where I had to like get my mind on it, you know, as I grew. It was just, all right, they're not trying
understanding
to, yeah, you got to understand that from
where they're coming from. Yeah.
You got to get your mind on that because at first, you know, kids are repenting to parents like, you don't want to see me happy. You don't want to see me this. It's not that, bro. But you know, you gotta understand where they come from. Where my parents come from.
Yeah.
Way rougher than what I had to come from.
Yeah.
My mom from Russia. Her family still hunting fish to eat. You know what I'm saying? They, my dad in the project. My grandma still in the project. Like they came from the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, thank God that they gave me a better life now. But I'm open minded enough to know that they went through it. They were trying to make sure we're not gonna go through it.
Yeah.
So I that's something that, you know, I had to open my mind up to as a man to understand. So I didn't have a bad relationship with my parents.
And you caught on that early, because I promise you, I probably just realized that a couple of months
ago. Yeah, we think all the older cats are telling us all this game. Oh, yeah. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know me, man. You don't understand me, blah, blah. But, you know, I'm that young kid that's like, well, shoot, let me listen because you obviously know more than me. Like, I'm a kid. What do I know?
Yeah. I feel like that's what separates you, especially because I identify with being, like, an older soul and a part of this young, like, the wild, crazy. I'm crazy. I feel like that's what differentiates you from your peers, the fact that you listen to people who are older than you. Everybody wants to do everything by themselves these days. Like, everybody wants everything instantaneously. They want to say, they do it on their own and nothing. And from hearing you speak, like, you have listen to the people who come before you. Listen to your parents.
Even if you didn't understand,
you've tried to understand where they're coming from.
If you don't understand it, as long as you hear it out, you're gonna understand it sooner or later.
Yeah.
You know, everything. You know, it's like everything your parents tell you. Eventually, sometime years later, you'll be like, that's what they meant.
Yeah.
You know, so you'll catch on to it whether you like it or not. But you know, separating from the peers was the most important thing to trying to get to where I was at. You got to separate out of that crowd too, though. Like,
yeah, that's a hard lesson. It was hard for me. You know, when you and I started our company, it was very hard for me to separate myself. And he used to always pull me aside and say, like, "Yo, like, you can't do that. Like, you can't do both. It's cool because it's who you are." And it makes you relatable, but you have to be able to separate yourself. And it was really, really difficult for me.
It sucks, you know, because I speak about sacrifice a lot for me getting to where I'm at. But, you know, most older people look at me like, man, you're 20 years old. You don't know about sacrifice. What you know about sacrifice?
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously I don't got no kids and no house and no things like that. Like, I ain't sacrificing nothing crazy like that. But what I did have to sacrifice was being a kid.
Yeah.
I'm not a... You know, 20-year-olds my age, you know, they're in college right now, living it up, getting drunk at night, smoking, they having fun, parties, living a life, and that's what they do. I had to give up all that.
Yeah.
You know, but it's for a greater cause, of course. Yeah. You know, it's definitely worth it for me, but that's my sacrifice. I had to make the decision, like, you know, back to my senior quote, give up what's good for what's great. Do I want to stay with the stuff that makes me feel good, or do I want to go to what's going to be great for me?
Yeah.
You know, so that quote, my senior quote, give up what's good for what's great, from Eric Thomas, That changed my life. And that's why back then I knew it. You know, because smoking makes you feel good when you're high. Drinking makes you feel good when you're out there. Your friends make you feel good when y'all together. But what's great is when your dream is a reality.
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen until you give up what's good.
Yeah.
All that stuff that make you feel good is temporary. That greatness is going to last forever. That's legacy. So I knew even in high school, I was like, dude, I can't be with y'all, man. Y'all ain't doing nothing but smoking and drinking. Every time we link up, y'all go to the same dude's house. Y'all sit in the same circle with the same people talking about the same nothing. What are we getting done?
Yeah.
Well, what did I learn today? You know, I watched a video, 50 Cent said, you'll be as successful as the people you talk to for no reason. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I going to learn from y'all every day?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, every day I'm talking to y'all, we talk about nothing.
Every single day, talking about people, nothing.
Nothing.
So that separation was everything. And even, you know, I separated myself in Fayetteville by just, you know, being by myself. But I really separated myself coming to Atlanta. And I got no family, no friends. I don't...
What made you take this move, though? Like, just...
You grown bigger than the city. You know, the city had nothing else to give me. I'm from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Mm.
You know, people know that as Dreamville. J. Cole, Destiny. So that's the hometown. You know, the Ville. So... It ain't really a place where I have opportunity to be the greatest, to be the top where I want to be at.
Yeah.
You know, even J. Cole, he from the Ville, but he didn't make it in the Ville. He went to New York and got signed by Jay-Z in New York.
Mm.
And then, you know, he made it out. That's making out the Ville.
Yeah.
Nobody makes it in the Ville.
Yeah.
He ain't just in the Ville about to make it. You know, even my boy Dennis Smith, he got to go to NC State, go to college and all that. You know, he ain't going to go to FSU or FTCC and make it to the NBA. You got to get out. You got to go D1. You got to make it out of your hometown. So the hometown it's a small town, you know?
Do you feel like you owe your city anything? You know, people feel like they got to go back and pay homage and, like, open a shop there or teach them there or do something for the city. Are you like, nah, I had to grow up from that. I'm moving on.
Do I owe them anything? I don't think I owe anybody anything.
Well, yeah.
But I do feel like if I make it out there, I know there's some kids back there that probably need the same motivation that I was looking for. So I feel the responsibility to do it. Yeah, I feel like I owe it to the city, like, oh, I have to come back and do this for them. No, but I feel the responsibility on myself that if I was given this type of success, why not reach back to the one place where I came from to do it? You know, why am I going to go and try to inspire somebody in L.A. Or another city where they don't know me, they don't know my family, but, you know, I got a kid that go to school, my little brother, that might be struggling on his own, that might need to hear something from me.
Yeah.
You know, that's something I feel like more close to my heart. So I feel the responsibility to show my city another way out.
That's dope. That's dope.
Yeah, I like that. Because a lot of people will feel stuck and confined. I feel like going to college, realizing that people feel like they need to leave, or they want to make it where they are, almost. Like, everybody goes back home. Everybody's like, no, I'm going to do it here. Yeah, I'm going to make it here. And it's like that,
I forgot what rapper said it, but it's like, they said, it's like those people that always like, yo, I'm finna make these t-shirts in the hood and finna take off in the hood, like, off these t-shirts. Like, man, you gotta get out, man. You gotta see the world. Like, luckily, I was able to travel a little bit more. So, you know, I saw the opportunities in another city, but, you know, we call it the Ville mentality. You know, J. Cole speak about it a lot. You got the Ville mentality, but what that is, it's a small town mentality that boxes you inside this area to think that that's all you need and that's all you're ever gonna have. That's what it is. You know, we call that the Ville mentality. People stuck in the Ville and that's it. It's a quick
thing. That's everywhere.
It's everywhere. Yeah, it's everywhere. If you're in a small town, you know, people in a small town will tell you, oh, no, I've been living my own life, man. So you don't need all that.
Yeah.
And I would go out and get motivation from other cities and other events and, you know, other people around the world. I come back to the hometown and you'll come back to people that tell you you just wasted your time. You just wasted your money out there. What are you doing out there, bro? Yeah. Everything you need is right here at home. You know, so I'm looking.
Call you, hey, Mr. Money Bag.
Yeah, over there. Are you Hollywood?
Yeah,
you Hollywood now? Yes, that's huge. You know, so, but it's like, you know, I want to make $1 million. You know, how is homie on the corner that never made $1 million going to tell me how to make $1 million?
Like, y'all not tired of these corners? It gets cold outside.
Like, what are you, how am I, where I'm trying to go, you got to go get that knowledge of people that's been there.
Yeah.
I can't have the homie that never made it out telling me what I need to be doing with my business and my brand when they ain't done it.
Yeah.
You know, that's simple as fact.
That's
right. You might know it, but if you ain't done it, bro, it's going to be hard for me to try to give you that trust on that. So I need to go and get those resources. Yeah. That's why I had to get out. I had to come to Atlanta. You know, I didn't even know it was going to be Atlanta. I thought I was going to go to a lot of other places. But like I said, God's time and his placement is perfect. I came to the right place at the right time. I thought I'd be in Florida. I thought I'd be in Dallas. I thought I'd be in New York. The last thing I was really thinking was Atlanta. And I think, personally, I was probably shooting Atlanta too low for what it was. Like, it's amazing. But I wasn't in my mind thinking that it's going to be amazing for me.
Yeah.
And it being the perfect fit. And it being the best decision of my life. But, you know, it was just last second. And I was talking to the shop owner in my shop now, my brother. His name is Hawk. Mm-hmm. We cut for the same clipper company. Mm-hmm. So he's like my teammate. So first, you know, we just teammates, you know, we cut for same companies, know him in the industry, we cool on the gram, blah, blah, blah. But every time we would be at a show or an event, we would just connect. We just had this energy. You know, you would have your homie that you were just always with. And even though y'all in the group, but everybody got their clicks inside of the group.
Yeah.
So Hawk was always my dog. Mm-hmm. And I remember asking him one time on a trip we had in Orlando, I'm like, hey, yo, big bro, like, I got to move this year. It's my last year in the Ville, bro. Like, where do you think I should go? I'm thinking, he's like, oh, yo, I think Dallas would be good, this, that, and third. He's like, bro, I'm in Atlanta. Like, you know, I got a shop in Atlanta. Like, if you ever want to come down, just, it's open doors, come down.
Wow.
So I was like,
Bet.
That's what I said. So I said, bet. And I drove to Atlanta on a Monday, my one day off. And I chose the first apartment that I could find on the side of the street over down Franklin Road in Marietta.
Then went to Franklin.
I didn't know what it was. I just said, y'all got one bedroom apartments. I didn't even take a tour of the apartment. I didn't care. I just knew I needed to get out. I signed for a terrace floor, one bedroom with cockroaches leaking the ceiling, like the worst of the worst. But I didn't care as long as it got me out of the Ville.
Yeah.
So I signed that, went back in the same day, and I mean, I left it a month later. It was instant. I had to get out.
That's the definite test when preparation meets opportunity.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy, and you jump on it every time. I see.
Yeah, every time.
It was time to get out, man. That was nothing else. But Atlanta has been nothing but growth and blessings. Like I'm when I think about, you know, what I've been given and everything I've done, I'm like, it's surreal. still can't even believe it.
Yeah,
God's purpose. I never think about it on my, my own, sitting there blowing my own head up. But when I sit in a moment like this, like I'm looking at this podcast right now, like somebody wants to talk to me for their business about my story.
Most definitely.
3 years ago, I was eating shit in my mom's garage. You know what I'm saying? Like I was cutting for free for people was finessing me. They was I was getting cops calling me for cutting the grass. Like I was in the Ville. I remember a dude got killed in front of my house while I was cutting. Like
what?
I thought he was there for a haircut. I heard boo 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 boo. I heard, I thought they were knocking on my garage door, opening the door. So it's a crime scene.
Oh
yeah. So you know that was just 3 years ago.
Wow.
You know, but to see where I'm at now, like when I look at this right now, I'm nothing but grateful. I'm
wow.
I can't even believe it.
That's talk about a, what is it, a 180 or a
360? All of it.
We're gonna
you turn it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's dope though.
So name some of the people you've actually cut for.
Oh shoot, that list got long now, but I mean
I was about to say 3 years of celebrity haircut. Well
shit, celebrity haircut's been like a year.
I was about to say a year. Well, when did you get down to Atlanta?
I came to Atlanta August.
Of last year?
Yeah, August, 6 months, like 6-7 months ago.
That's it?
Yeah, can't remember when I first came down. I just got down here.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, within the first 2 months, I cut, you know, pretty much the starting five for the Atlanta Hawks. I cut Trae Young. I've cut, like, most.
How does that word of mouth happen? Is it, like, the relationships that you're making? Is it Instagram? Like, what, like.
Or are you a stalker
it's,
like
it's, AD? It's everything. You know, it's the manifestation. It's the networking. It's just sometimes you're in the right place at the right time. That's all it really comes down to. You know, the first celebrity or first athlete ever cut was my brother Dennis Smith Jr. He plays for the New York Knicks now.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9 draft pick, 2016 draft. But he's from Fayetteville. Hometown hero again. Another mm-hmm. legend, another Ville. That's my brother. I met him in the restaurant that I was working at. I was a server when I met him. But I was still cutting hair in my mom's garage.
Mm.
And, you know, I used to cut one of the guys. I used to train him. His name was Rel. And I used to cut Rel's hair in my mom's garage. And he used to tell me all the time, like, yo, I got this, you know, my boy Dennis Smith. Boy, you about to go to the NBA. I'm like, yeah, all right. It sounds nice. Like, I don't watch basketball like that. I don't know what you're talking about. But I'm trying to cut his hair, you know.
Right.
It's cool. But he's like, nah, he's going to go. I'm like, telling me all the time, yo, getting ready for the drag, getting ready for that. I'm like, okay, cool.
Mm.
I'm like not thinking about it that much. I'm not trying to say you want to go, but I wasn't. No, even thinking about it until I'm working in the restaurant. I look at the TV, number 9 draft pick to the Dallas Mavericks, Dennis Smith Jr. I'm like, God damn, they are playing. What is this? So a week after the draft, I'm sitting there waiting for my food at the front of the little, you know, out the kitchen.
Yeah,
and I look towards the front for a second, and I see Dennis walk past real quick, and he's going to the bathroom. It's like a small. It's a real small restaurant. But,
mm-hmm.
And he goes to the bathroom. I'm like, oh shit, that's Dennis Smith Jr. Like, this is it. This is my boy's boy.
Yeah.
So I'm like hanging around the bathroom waiting for him. Not like I'm waiting for him to come out the bathroom. Like, yo, bro. Come out the bathroom. Like, but I'm like, I know he in there. I'm finna kick him right now. That's what I do. And when he come out here, I'm finna make this connection and we gonna chop it up.
Yeah.
So he come out. I kind of turn around and. Like, I've always had this idea of, like, just, like I said, private communication, just networking with people. Like, I knew not to address them as, like, oh, my God, Dennis McGee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I said, I turn around. I said, hey, yo, you real boy, right? He like, yeah, what's good?
That's
I said, oh, shit, not chilling, but I'm real, you know, I'm real's barber. I said, you just got drafted, so, you know, obviously, congratulations on the draft. You know, but I'm a barber, bro, so, you know, I cut real's hair. If you ever need a haircut, like, I'll be more than happy to take care of you, bro. And, you know, it's kind of before I knew who he was, the first thing he said, oh, hell yeah. Hey, we from the same city. You help me and I'm going to help you. He said, what's your Instagram and stuff? So I'm trying to pull up my Instagram. Ain't nothing loaded. I ain't got a gas. I'm shaking. I'm like, oh, shit.
I didn't expect it to go this way.
I'm like, okay. I'm like, let me give you my business card. But let me tell you why. I reached in my wallet to give him my business card. It was the last card in my wallet.
Damn.
The last card. Kid you not, the last single
thank
last
God you had it, because that's
so I'm like, yo, my phone, I'm looking dumb. I'm like, yo, let me show you my gray hair, bro. I got you. Trying to pull up my phone. Oh, ain't nothing loading. People starting to notice him. I'm like, oh, hold on, bro. You know? So I reached and give him the business card. He's like, all right, bet. He walk out, man, he text me a minute later. He said, Dennis. I said, oh, shit. I'm in the kitchen. I'm like, I got an NBA player dumping my phone right now. I'm about to go up. I'm about to go up. This is going to be it. So, you know, we tried to come up a couple of times. After that, it didn't really line up.
Yeah.
He was busy, I was busy, and then the reason I wake up early now is because of him. You know, one time he hit me for a haircut before I come in for the first time. And it was, he hit me up at like 6 a.m. because he had like a flight and he needed to come. Mm-hmm. So we flew out. But I was asleep. I woke up at like 11:30.
Oh,
so I woke up at 11:30. I'm like, oh man, got that good sleep. Look at my arm. He texts me like 3 times. Hey, bro, you awake? Hey, bro, you up?
Damn.
Shit, he like, shit, I got to go. I'm like, damn, bro. Like, I'm in the garage still cutting and working in a restaurant. For me to cut an NBA player in the building, like, that would have set it off. Like, I would have been lit, especially the hometown era.
Yeah.
So I'm like, dude, I'm missing out on the opportunity. What am I doing? So I'm like, nah, forget that. Yo, I changed his ringtone. It's embarrassing because I remember when he found out, he was like, yo, you got my number as a ringtone? every time you text me, it play the whole, like, you calling somebody for a text. So I'm like, bro, I'm never going to miss this opportunity again. I changed his text ringtone to a dang, to like a whole ringtone. So every time he texts me, go off.
Yeah.
And then, shoot, man, like, I remember the Conor McGregor and Mayweather fight came up, and that was the first time we linked up. I was just texting him, like, yo, you gonna watch the fight? Trying to keep the relationship going, you know? I've always been taught, don't create relationship, build relationship.
That's my problem.
You gotta build it. Don't just create it. If you would've gave me his number, and I would've never followed up with the, you know, hey, yo, good luck in your game. Yo, praying for you. Have a healthy game.
Yeah.
Yo, do good. Congratulations
last
night.
So important.
Those are things that allow people to understand, like, okay, this is a genuine relationship.
Yeah.
He's doing asking for nothing. Like, keep that stuff genuine and build it the right way.
Yeah.
So I can always follow up with him, text him. I hit him up for the fight. Hey, bro, you gonna watch the fight? He said, yeah. You sliding through? I'm like, I slide through the crib for the Mayweather McGregor fight, and then before I even cut him, when I come into the house, his family opened the door for me. They're like, "Oh, the barber here." I'm like, "Oh shit, word, yeah, the barber here, y'all, yeah, what's up?"
That's me.
Hey, that's me.
I'm the barber.
You know what I'm saying? So they like, you the barber, I'm the only white dude in the house.
Yeah.
Like, they looking at me like, this is your new barber. Yeah, my barber. So he said, when we sit there watch a fight, you know, it's love, you know, it was a good energy with my guys. So, you know, a week after that, he'd leave, and, you know, he hit me up, and he's like, I need to cut. So we made it happen a week after that, and that was the first time I cut him. But, you know, that was 3 years ago now, but that ever since then, that's my brother. He's opened so many opportunities and so many doors for me. Like, he used to fly me to Dallas to, you know, for Mavericks Media Day, just to come kick it, just for, you know,
that's dope.
Whatever, you know, he always take care of me. So, I mean, it grew beyond the haircut. Now we family, you know.
Yeah.
And then I don't even cap like I knew him back in before he went to jail. I met him when he got drafted, bro. We kept it real, took care of him. First time I cut him, didn't even charge him. I said, bro, I just want you to know, like, this opportunity mean more to me than it does to get this dollar right now, bro. So that relationship mean more than anything. So, you know, you keep it solid with people, but they gonna keep it solid with you. So, you know, that's my brother now. It's beyond any haircut. You know, I'm not even his barber right now. He can get cut by somebody else. So I don't know. Can't get to him. I'm busy. He's busy. I grew. I ain't the kid in the bill no more. So he know that. So we family.
But it's
right
family.
Now. Yeah, that's my guy.
Dope.
So
he
opened a lot of doors for me. You know, anytime I ever need anything, every time I come home, if I need a car when I come home, he got me on the car. If I need whatever, like, he's there and I'm there for him too. Whatever he need, I got him. So
that's dope.
That was the first, you know, that was the first athlete celebrity I cut. But, you know, now I cut for guys like Nelly. I cut for Trey Young. I cut, you know, a lot of the young rappers coming out.
Nelly. We'll talk later.
That's my guy, man. But I cut for a lot of A-list clientele now, and it's dope. I mean, it's like I said, I never thought it would be happening.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy, but, you know,
a true blessing, though.
True blessing. Like,
you've been an inspiration to me, and I'm 25.
It happened as soon as I came to Atlanta. Like, the first 3 hours of me being in Atlanta, I cut my first celebrity. I cut my guy Mozzie. I don't know if y'all know who Mozzie is.
From
Sacramento. Mozzie. So Mozzie, I've been listening to his music, you know, like, shoot, in the Ville, like, just listening to Mozzie. And then his DJ hit me up before I moved to Atlanta. And was like, yo, we, he didn't ask if Mozzie got a cut. He said he needed a cut. DJ Gio. He like, yo, we need a cut on Sunday. I said, oh, bet. I moved down there, on Friday. So I'll cut y'all on Sunday. Like, we good. I'm gonna be there. So I pull up Friday. He texts me. He like, yo, like, we at the studio. It's Mozzie wife and Lucci and some other guys. He's like, yo, we need some cuts. So I'm like, damn. Oh shit. I'm like, bro, I'll be there in a second. So I pull up and I don't have my tools on me. Right? I don't got my, because my tools, my barber tools, my clips and stuff are in my car. I drove the U-Haul because I'm going to move in. My parents were going to drive my car up later that night. So they were going to meet me later that night when they got off work. So they weren't going to get to Atlanta until like midnight to help me move in. Wow. But I let them take my car, so I drove the U-Haul. I'm like, man, I ain't finna cut no hair. So when they brought my car, I could just take my car to the shop and be easier than bringing the U-Haul. Yeah. So I had no tools on me. Second I pulled into the apartment complex in the parking lot, Gio texted me, yo, we're in the studio, can you pull up? I'm like, bro, I don't know how, but I'm about to pull up.
You're gonna figure it out.
I'll figure it out. So I'm like, well, damn, I gotta get some clippers. I'm talking about, this is like, this is just the show, like the hustle I will put through to make opportunity happen if I need to do it.
Yeah.
I don't got no clippers. I don't got a car. I got a 20-foot U-Haul. I didn't even go inside my apartment yet. Still don't know what it looked like. So I'm like, yo, all right, let me call the shop. So I call in the barbershop. I'm like, yo, I know y'all don't really know me, but I'm coming down to cut there. Hawk and my boy, I got this opportunity to cut these guys. Can I borrow some clippers? So my guy Lance, that was working at the shop at the time, was like, yo, I got you, bro. Like,
oh, that's wow, family. That's dope.
He said, yo, I ain't in the shop, but you can go to my station and whatever, you know, take whatever you need. So I'm like, bet, bro. I got it.
Wow, that's
so
amazing.
So I start whipping a U-Haul, like, through Atlanta. And if y'all know Atlanta traffic and driving,
whoa.
Whip a 20-foot U-Haul. I broke my dresser. I knew it.
Sliding in the back?
Sliding. Because I'm whipping it. I'm whipping the U-Haul like it's a car. Like, I'm going through the city, and the traffic is crazy. The drivers is crazy. And I hear my dresser, boom, fall so hard. I'm like, yeah, that's the dresser. the dresser's done.
That's it right there. Yeah.
But I'm like, nah, it's cool because I need this opportunity, bro. So, yeah, I pull up with the U-Haul. I get the clippers, and luckily the studio was only the street over. So
oh,
I didn't.
Wow.
I could park the U-Haul at the barbershop. I grab the clippers, and I walk to the studio. End up cutting Mozzie, and you know, that's, you know, we cool now. We ain't like real tight like that.
Yeah.
But just the fact that I had that exposure and knew that this was
first three hours
as soon as
crazy.
I touched down.
Because anybody else would be like, nah, I'm gonna have to unpack.
Nah,
yeah.
I didn't even have clippers.
Yeah,
I didn't even have clippers. I said I'm gonna find a way though. So I was, found some clippers and luckily walked to the studio and it happened. You know, Mozzie cool now, he tapped on me on the gram. I actually sent him some trimmers the other month. He had hit me up. He said, hey, man, I'm tired of lining myself up with my girl coochie clippers. Like, he said, bro, I need the real deal. Like, where I can get some clippers at? I said, hold on. I said, say no more, bro. And he know, because after I cut him, he brought me to the concert. I kicked with him on the stage at the concert. Like, it was love. So I'm like, bet, I got you. Send me your address. Say no more. Send him pair of my personal, like the best trimmers I had, took care of. So I mean, that's my guy.
That's dope. Building relationships. Yeah, shout out to that.
Relationships.
Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah, but that was you know, I was the first one after that. You know, I ended up cutting my guy Cam Reddish. Cam Reddish was it's just how it happens with the celebrities. It just happens. Like you just.
That's what it sounds like. You just have to be ready for the opportunity.
Yeah.
It's not like they come looking like, hey, I want this.
You know,
yeah. Like,
even Cam Reddish, you know, Cam played at Duke. My boy Joey Baker from the Ville. My boy Joey played at Duke. He from the Ville. I knew him from the Ville as we was growing up, like in high school. So I knew Joey went to Duke with Cam. Cam graduated before Joey, went to NBA now. Now he's in Atlanta, but he's a rookie. So I'm like, he fresh to Atlanta too. Same age as me, fresh to Atlanta. I text Joey. I'm like, yo, Joey, yo, you think Cam got a barber yet? He said, hold on, let me text him. He texts Cam. I cut Cam the next day.
Wow.
Like, Cam Reddish now one of the rookie stars that the Hawks got.
Yeah.
And I cut Cam, took care of Cam. Shoot, we went bowling. Like the first time I cut him, we chopped it up. You know, he another young kid to the city. You know, in NBA, cool, but you know, he a dope career. Don't always mean, you know, you gotta have everything around you. But so we kicked it. You know, for that first week, we played Xbox. We went bowling, and shoot, he put me on to Bruno, and then from Bruno put me on to DeAndre, and then DeAndre, and then one time Trae Young walk in the locker room, and he look at Cam haircut, and he's like, yo, I want Cam Barber. Who Cam Barber? So Cam and Trae got the same agent, so they reach out to me, they're like, yo, you cut Trae. Now I start cutting Trae, I cut a couple of other players, I gotta cut a new player in tomorrow. Yeah, so
Right place at the right time,
network build, I mean, this is how it happens. You know, even with Nelly, though, like, I put that in the air. You know, even with Dennis, I got a message that I sent Dennis, like, when Rel told me about him, when I was like, yo, Dennis, like, hey, bro, you need a haircut I cut in my mom's garage. I got a DM that I sent him, like, a whole year before. And, you know, a year later, unfold that, you know, I ended up cutting him. But even Nelly, like, I sent Nelly a DM because Nelly performed at the Dreamville concert. The Dreamville Festival. They had a Dreamville Festival.
Oh, yeah.
So Nelly performed at the Dreamville Festival. And I'm like, yo, I'm going to the Dreamville Festival. Like, let me see if I can cut some of these artists. So I started DMing all the artists that's going to pull up. I'm like, shoot, I'm going to go ahead and shoot a DM to Nelly. Do I think he's going to fly? No, but he might.
He just might.
He might.
Just might.
I sent him a DM. He didn't answer, of course, for the Dreamville Fest. But I'm just literally cutting the one day in the shop. And I look at my phone. And it's a DM from Nelly. He said, what's up, champ? You got a second?
Wow.
I'm like, what?
Wow.
So, you know, I put it in the universe. You know, I just put it in the air. And it gets answered. That's just, you know, law of attraction. That's, you know, that manifestation. Now, I don't know if it'll, when it'll happen, but it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I DM Nelly, like, back in April, he DM me, shoot, later that year, you got a second, chop him up for his birthday. Now, every time he comes to Atlanta, I'm his barber. So, you know, that's just
really dope.
Playing on C's.
Yeah, you got to play on C's. The only reason I even figured to DM a celebrity is because one time, that, like, my ex, the girl I dated, Lil Durk used to be my favorite rapper.
Mm-hmm.
And one time I was talking about another rapper, and she was like, oh, I'm finna tell Lil Durk that you talking about another rapper. So she DM'd Lil Durk a screenshot of me talking about so-and-so my favorite rapper. She like, my boyfriend ain't a loyal fan. He replied, LOL.
What?
So I'm like, bruh, if Lil Durk replied to that DM about that, that means I could get lucky and get a celebrity to do
reach out to
me,
50 for
out.
Three of them to reply.
You know, so I start DMing athletes, I start DMing teams. You gotta think, you know, even on an NFL team, it's like 50 plus players on an NFL team.
Yeah.
Bro, at least one of them got to reply.
Somebody's
got to reply to you.
You're gonna see that.
Some of them celebrities, some of them athletes don't even got more followers than you got.
True.
They'll see your stuff. Some of them not even got a blue check on their stuff. Some of them just not even on social media, but they'll see your message if you reach out. And I ain't, you know what I'm saying? I didn't need to cut Trae Young first.
Yeah.
I just got to cut somebody around it. We'll get there. So I started DMing athletes. You know, the first athlete I got off of that method was my boy Willie Hernan Gomez. He's a center for the Charlotte Hornets.
Mm-hmm.
Now I live in Ville, Charlotte, 2.5 hours away. So
y'all,
I DM'd. It ain't. Yeah, it's more north. So that's far away. But I'm DMing all the Carolina Panthers. I'm DMing all the Charlotte Hornets. I send them all the same copy and paste message. Yo, man, big fan of your career, man. Yo, look, you never need a shot. Like, I got you. So Willie was the one that hit me up. So Willie DM'd me back and was like, okay, word.
You got it.
So yeah, Willie hit me back and he's like, okay, cool. You shot me up. I mean, yeah, I got you. Give me a day, give me time, I'm there. So he don't know I'm 2.5 hours away. I ain't finna tell him that.
Yeah.
Of course not.
I'm like, nah, I ain't finna tell you that. So when he talking about, yo, you could pull up at this time, I'm like, are you cool if we do it like 2.5 hours later? Thinking like, you cool at this time? Like, you say you pull up at 5, I said, how's 7:30? 7:30 work? Yeah, 7:30 is cool. I'll leave the Ville right there, drive 2.5 hours straight to go cut this dude's hair for only $100. But you gotta think $100 haircut, but $100 driving 2.5 hours?
Yeah.
Bruh, I'm taking an L. I'm taking a big L.
Yeah.
But that relationship
that
was
relationship.
Way more than I'll ever need. So I'm like, I gotta do it.
And if it's dope, word of mouth, and then it spreads.
You never know.
You never know
when it's gonna open. Yeah. So I'm driving to cut Willie for like, I cut him like 4 times, doing the same thing, driving 2.5 hours.
And he
straight.
Still doesn't know that.
He don't know.
I would have told him that. Look.
After you hear that price, though, you know you can't just So I'll just keep it cool, making a trip, and then, you know, eventually we didn't line up one time. And that's the thing too about celebrities: don't ever get caught up on those celebrity, like, they're cool relationships. Some of them are gonna be meant for you, some of them aren't gonna be meant for you. Some of the celebrities I cut them one time and I never see them again.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't gotta break my back for them now. You know, I don't gotta go out of my way to make it happen no more. I did in the beginning because I never cut one before. So I'm like, this is a crazy to me.
Yeah. And I think that's
now, you know, you understand that these are regular people that just do something that you admire.
I always say Beyonce wipes.
Yeah, so I just...
What? Beyonce wipes. Just maybe. Oh, it's still out there. We're going to ask her that one day. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
So, like, I ain't going to shoot everybody regularly. Like, it's cool. Whoever's going to be meant for you, going to be meant for you. Your circle will be your circle. Like, I cut some celebrities or I wish to hit me up still, but never hit them up and never see them again. It was just a one-time thing. It is what it is. But then I do got guys like Dennis, like, you know, Nelly, like... You know, other
those
relationships, they take care of me, and they know every time we see each other's love, if I call them to answer, like, those are the people that are going to be meant for you.
Your circle will be your circle,
and everybody ain't got to be meant for you.
Yeah. When we did the studio, our thing was treat everybody the same.
Everybody.
So when they came in, everybody got the same treatment. You got water, you got, if you drank, you got the little liquor bottles, you got food, so you got, we gave snacks, we had... You know, relationships with Red Bull and Kind Snacks. So everybody got Red Bull and Kind Snacks, and we would try to give everybody shirts when they left. But from a rapper or a singer just starting out to, you know, some of the biggest celebrities, everybody was treated the same. We didn't treat anyone different. And you also never know who somebody's going to be. You know,
exactly that. Yeah.
You never know. So that kid sitting over in the corner, you never know who that kid is.
That's really where I got a lot of the passion for growing the platform I have now and growing the brand I have now, is because when I went to my first hair show, which actually was the Atlanta hair show that you talked about, the Brown Brothers, that was the first barber show I ever been to. So that was my first glimpse of what the industry was. For me to get to that show, I, once again, drove from the Ville overnight. I slept in a parking deck because I was 18. Didn't have no money for a hotel. Couldn't even get a hotel because I was 18. So I slept in a parking deck in my car. And that was, you know, how I got to my first show. So when I went to that first show, I'm seeing all the guys on social media that I'm looking up to. And I'm like, yo, we finna get this connection right, man. We finna network. They finna rock with me. I'm next up.
Yeah.
You know, I go to meet these cats. And then they brush you off like it ain't nothing. I'm like, homie, you don't even know I'm sleeping in the parking deck right now to come talk to you. I just drove from the Ville, but I ain't got no money to come speak to you. But you treat me like that? I'm like, all right, bet.
It's when the same people that, that come. They always come back.
So I said when I left that show, I said, if God ever give me the opportunity to give me that platform, I would never abuse it or give anybody that feeling that they gave me ever.
Yeah.
But I said that before I even knew it was gonna happen.
Yeah,
it was crazy. I gotta pull it, because speaking of, I gotta pull it up.
So you don't even seem like you would be mean to somebody, though.
Nah, I'm a great. I feel like I want to be. I'm a great person, but you know, that too. Even when you come across those engagements with those people where they're mean to you, at first I was like, nah, you know, f them, like they acting like that.
Yeah.
But then you also gotta understand. Same with my parents. I had to understand from a different perspective. You know, hurt people hurt other people.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you could have a dog. And that dog could love you to death, but if that dog go out there and get hit by a car right now and you try to go pet him while he hurt, he gonna bite at you.
Yeah.
It don't matter if he was owner or not, he hurt right now.
That's
so
real.
It's something inside of him that he gotta fix before he can love you. So a lot of these people at these shows, you know, even a lot of celebrities, they say it's lonely at the top for a reason. And it's because it takes a lot of sacrifice and it takes a lot of hurt to get to the top. So when a lot of people get there, you know, you don't know what they had to go through to get
there.
They're
so cold.
We just think they got all this money. They're supposed to be the happiest person ever.
Yeah.
You don't know what they went through to get there. So we over here like, he was short. He didn't really say nothing.
Yeah.
That was it. Oh, man, F that dude. He ain't like he is. You know, you don't know if that man ain't eat for a couple of days. You don't know if he ain't been to sleep. You don't know if he had to, you know, lose his homie to get to where he's at. You don't know what he went through. So at that point, I was like, all right, let me understand that better. Hurt people may hurt other people. I don't know what they went through to be there. But, you know, whatever it is, I'm going to make sure I don't give off that vibe. So that was, you know, that was my perspective. So this video right here, this is me at my first hair show. I got a vlog. Somebody was vlogging. And they caught me on the vlog of me having this conversation. And thank God that this even happened, because this is like the craziest gem I've ever seen in my life.
I'm about to say, play it up to
the
mic.
Yeah, right.
This
is me. Like I said, I always knew that I was going to be there.
Yeah.
Before I could see it physically, before I could touch it, like, I just knew I'm going to be the best. I'm going to be at the top. I'm going to be there. So this is me on my first show. I met my guy Deluxe and them. They got me in a vlog.
Yeah, so coming out here connecting with all the people, man. That's
know that's right.
So I talked to you. So that's before I had anything. Like, I know no follow, no social
it's
media.
It's so funny because you're still young, but you definitely look like a baby in it. Like
he said, "You know what? You're gonna hear about me. I'm on my way to the top
right now. Like,
to the top of what? I don't know. But like, we going there. We going there. Yeah, that's dope.
That's why I got the manifestation tatted on my hands. You really got to speak those things into existence.
So true.
That's true. You gotta be positive with yourself, cause who child?
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah.
You have to. You gotta see it before anybody else does.
And that's very true.
I just had to speak it.
Yeah, you really do have to make people believe in you. That's a crazy thing.
But you gotta believe first, though.
If you don't believe it first, ain't nobody else gonna believe it.
Yeah.
If you can't believe it for yourself that you're gonna be the best, how am I gonna convince you? How am I going to get a company to give me $1 million deal if I don't believe I'm going to be the best?
Or you got to believe that you're worth that.
How can I get them to believe it
if
I don't see it for myself?
That's true.
So, I'm a big dreamer. I'm looking at this podcast right now. I'm thinking, like, I'm already seeing, like, oh, boy, we finna have, like, the sky deck in New York. Y'all finna have this podcast.
Hey, I'm gonna be up in a glass.
Like, I'm already foreseeing this in the next couple of years. Like, we're going to do this again a couple years later. Another recap interview. And you're going to be in Manhattan at the top of the top. And we're going to have this front view. And I'm going to pull up in my car.
Write this down.
Manifest that.
It's just a matter of time, though.
Yeah.
You keep genuine intentions. You keep good faith. You're only bound to be successful.
Yeah,
it's only a matter of time for when it really gonna happen.
That's true.
Dang,
Vic, you're the best. Right?
You really are.
How much time do you actually spend behind the chair now? Because it sounds like you always traveling.
I'm behind the chair a lot though. Still, that's what people don't. That's what people
I guess that's
forget.
A misconception.
They see the social media. They see the traveling. Oh, you must be living it good. You probably barely. I still cut 8 to 7 p.m. in the shop on appointments. You know, that's if I'm booked, 8 to 7 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. You know, 5 days a week. You know, give or take. If I travel on a weekend, I might have to take a Saturday off. But you can still book me. I'm a regular barber to a lot of people. Like, even though I live this dope life and got this dope brand or whatever, like to a lot of other people, I'm Victor Fontes. They barber, and that's all they know. So, I mean, that's
They don't even scroll on Instagram.
But that keeps you humble. You know, you have to keep that in mind. I can't go in the shop one day and be all, oh, I'm Vic Glenn. Somebody, I'm just a regular barber.
Yeah.
You know, they might not even know my Instagram.
I'm going to look at you while you're lining me up.
So something on just the bar. So, I just, you know, I like that aspect. I don't ever want that to change. I don't want
you like the shop. You like the barbershop. You like the environment.
Being regular, being chill. Like just that's how it should be.
That's dope. Where can the people find you?
At Vic Blends, VicBlends. It ain't no Z. It ain't Vic. It ain't no Vic
Blends.
_ Blends. It's VicBlends. It's Vic Blends.
Everywhere.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, everything.
Oh,
TikTok. Oh.
You are on the TikTok doing the Renegade.
That kids want to see the TikTok, man.
Look, the kids want to see the TikTok. What you got coming up?
This year is going to be a crazy year. So, I mean, this year is the year that I'm trying to establish Victor Fontes as the entrepreneur. Far from Vic Blends the Barber.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, everybody knows Vic Blends the Barber. A lot of people miss the you know what I've done. They hit the part of it being a barber and they say, okay, that's dope, but you a barber.
Yeah.
But they don't understand that I have a craft and created a brand out of it.
I see you got products and stuff, don't you?
Yeah, I got products coming out. I got merchandise coming out. I'm starting to actually brand myself. You know, a lot of ways that these companies build their brands is, you know, a great brand, and then they got to reach out to the influencers to put the face to the brand. You know, luckily I've done it the opposite way.
Yeah, you are the influencer.
I am the person behind the brand, so now if I could get the right people around me to create the right brand, now I could create this super brand, you know, organically.
Yeah.
Done it the right way. You know, I am the person. I don't need to go hire another influencer. I have it all. I just need to create the brand around me and create that team. So that's why I came to Atlanta, just looking to create that brand and create that surrounding around myself, trying to put the right people around me. So that's what I really want to get done is create a brand this year. And, you know, I've done that a little bit. You know, I got a logo now. I got brand language, I got brand statements, I got colors that represent me, I got all types of things coming. I have my first hair product releasing next month. Big Blend Finishing Foam. I got my own hair mousse. Merchandise. Ooh. Y'all, I do an online academy. I actually released my own online academy last year.
So. Oh, wow. Congrats.
And I released it last year. But, you know, then again, that was like my first actual product to try to create a residual income for me that ended up failing because, you know, I just technical difficulties, you know, not lack of resources, lack of preparation. You learn. Yeah. I learned a lot from
you. You learn. Yeah.
It was my first ever online money making project that I had. So, you know, it's an online academy where I teach people how to cut hair online, you know, the same way that any other business does.
Yeah.
Like we talked about earlier. Yeah, here I am in my Lamborghini, and I made this much money off dropshipping last night.
I watched so many of them videos. I really thought I was about to be selling.
Yeah. He's not tripping. They had a whole Shopify. They got
Shopify. I'm about to make a website.
But I got, you know, I got an online academy that I'll be teaching people how to cut. You know, it's organic. I put love into, passion into it. It ain't just no BS, and I'm dropping all the gems and jewels on there. So that's gonna be, you know, another side of my business that I'm doing this year again. Last year we did it, but not the best website, not the best content created. You know, technical difficulties with it. You know, lost motivation.
Yeah, your logos. So that's fire.
It's cool. Fire.
It's clean.
Appreciate that. It looks clean.
You can see, if you see that, it's like, oh, I know what that is. It's like the Sony, the, you know, Target, you know what it is. So that's really dope.
This year we're just working on giving, you know, my followers something that they could physically hold. Now, you know, I've created this cool persona as a person, created this dope, you know, me, as a person. But now I need to give them something that I can hold and say, like,
substance.
I got this from Vic. Yeah. You know, this has helped me change. And I could have done it a long time ago, and I got a lot of followers on the gram, so I could have binge dropped the product or a razor or something and made some change off of it. But you know, you don't want to hurt that integrity to your brand. Yeah. I don't want to just go chase the dollar aspect of things. I could have dropped the razor and sold it for $10 and made it for $1 and made a bunch of money off of it. But the people that would have bought that razor would have realized three months later when it broke apart that Vic sold them, you know, some BS.
Yeah.
So I've been taking my time with my products, taking my time with my drops and releases to make sure that I'm only going to give out, you know, something from the heart. I'm only going to give out something quality. I don't ever want to, you know, lessen the integrity of my brand.
Dope.
You're on the right track.
Yeah, this has been dope. This has been really dope.
Yes, my favorite celebrity interview so far.
So many celebrities.
Celebrities, my favorite.
Yeah, this
we
is
appreciate
dope.
You for stopping.
Really
I appreciate
dope.
You. This is the opportunity for me. This is a blessing for me. Like, you know,
this is so dope.
This is awesome. Y'all,
we gonna see. What you say? Where we gonna be in New York on the rooftop?
Yeah,
hey, that's where we gonna be next. In Manhattan, interviewing Vic Blends with our tangible products.
He gonna fly us out.
Flew us out.
We gonna get flew.
Fly us out.
Yo, thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, I appreciate this.
Thanks for chopping.
I never done a live like podcast like this before.
Really?
So this y'all the icebreaker. So when I do make it up there and I'm at that top, I'm gonna say, yeah, y'all gave me that first.
Hey, look, we gonna tag you and everything.
Right, check far. We're gonna be DMing, tagging you in them DMs. So look, it's just us. Answer us, okay?
Hey, y'all got me.
Just answer us, okay?
80s, stop.
Stop saying that.
Yeah.
I don't stalk.
I want a button for you. We need
that's
a
scary.
Yo, but for real, thank you so much for stopping in. This was really, really dope. We really appreciate it. All the success and blessings to you.
God bless you.
Yeah. So much inspiration, you know, for a 25-year-old like myself. Okay, well, let's end the interview. What?
Yeah, I appreciate this. And once again, my name is Victor Fontanez. I'm a 20-year-old entrepreneur from Fayetteville, North Carolina. I started cutting hair 3 years ago as a side hustle with a college. God bless me with the greatest life I could ever live. And it's only getting bigger by the day. You know, I'm here to speak a purpose beyond the craft of just cutting hair. And I want to appreciate you. I want to thank y'all for giving me the opportunity to share that message. Y'all helped me fulfill my purpose. You know, if I didn't have this, I wouldn't be doing nothing but sitting in the crib playing some games. So, you know, for me to be here today, it means more than anything in this world. So, appreciate y'all genuinely. And, that was dope.
That made me feel good on the inside. I feel like we served our purpose today.
We did. Hey.